the edge of our hope, at the end of our time. We have chosen not only to believe in ourselves, but in each other. Today we face the monsters that are at our door. Today we are canceling the apocalypse.
Now get the hell out of our galaxy.
The strength of this starship lay in its diversity.
You see, our glorious diversity, that is not a threat to who we are. It makes us who we are.
You don't just let things happen. You make a stand. You say no. You have the guts to do what's right when everyone else just runs away.
But we must fight this darkness that is threatening to engulf us. Each of us must be a ray of hope.
Rebellions are built on hope.
Welcome to the Skippy and Panty Show. I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean, and today on Sig Nubu's Conversations, Kogiko Ergo Sum. I geek, therefore I am. I came up with that. I feel super clever about it.
You are super clever. But before we start, I think you wanted to mention a couple of things.
Yeah, three things we need to mention. So first one, we are running a fundraiser for Human Rights Watch. It's a lot of awesome stuff that they do, and we're going to watch a bad movie if we reach our goal. Our goal is $500. We've made a little bit already. We need everybody's support. $1, $5 million, whatever you can give to get us to our goal. We're going to watch Batman versus Superman if we hit our goal.
To be honest, if you gave us $5 million, we'd be way over our goal. And that would be cool.
Yeah, we may add other things on top of that if you made a $5 million donation.
We'll definitely watch the extended cuts if you donate $5 million to the Human Rights Watch or any other organization of your choice.
Yes, that is also a possibility in case you want to donate to something that's local. It doesn't really matter. We just have like a $500 fundraiser goal. And all you got to do is go to skiffingfanny.com. It is the sticky post, so it'll be the first post. Just go there to tell you what you need to do. Just go make your donation, save the confirmation, show us the evidence you did it, and that's it. And then we just count it towards our total, and then we will do Batman vs. Superman. Plenty of time. Get it done. So, other thing. Patreon. Also money-related. If you would love to support this show because you like what we do, please go to patreon.com/skiffyandfanty and support us. $1, $3, $10, also $5 million. That will also take that.
That would basically be our Patreon goal for the rest of our lives.
Let's just put it this way. If there's someone who has that kind of money that they just want to throw at a podcast, Jen and I will make this our full-time jobs.
Oh, for sure.
Anyway, but point is, do please support us. We've got a bunch of lovely supporters, and you know, adding more to that list would just be awesome because we love you all as it is. And then we just make like cool things, like everyone gets a special title when they become a Patreon supporter, which is fun.
The coolest titles.
That is true. They're all made by Jen, so you know they're awesome. So anyway, so third thing, really simple. Jen and I, we try to have new and fresh topics. Sometimes we do topical things. Sometimes we do just sort of geeky things, like today's topic will be for these little Sig Nubu's Conversations episodes. However, there may be a lot of stuff that we don't even think about as a topic we should cover. And so if you think we should cover a topic, whether it is something that's more topical, that sort of like needs to be talked about right away, or more broad, or just a general topic about something you think we should cover, go to skiffingfanty.com/suggest-a-topic, or just skiffingfanty and look for that tab, suggest a topic, and just fill out the form, send us a topic. Doesn't really matter what it is. We'll pretty much consider almost anything other than, like, I guess, an episode on pornography.
Actually, I would totally talk about genre pornography, because I think there's some really cool stuff about out there, but that might just be me. I don't know.
I don't know if I could have an adult conversation about science fiction parody pornographies with you, Jen.
Oh, I'm not necessarily talking about parody pornographies, but if you think of something like Sunstone by Stefan, I can't pronounce his last name, I'm really sorry. He was the Witchblade comic artist for a really long time. He also did one of the volumes of Rat Queens, fantastic artist, but he has a comic called Sunstone, which is, I think, genre adjacent at the very least. It's about a lesbian couple who are into BDSM, but they meet online. One of them is a fan writer of sorts. And it's just a really beautiful comic that you can find on his DeviantArt page. And then you have things like Ogloff, which is definitely NSFW, but is fully genre. It is an absolutely amazing fantasy series of short comics and well worth reading if you're into that type of thing, which I am, because why not? And there's just some really beautiful work that's being done out there that is both porn, not necessarily filmed porn, but comic porn, and definitely genre related. So I would totally have that conversation, but Sean over there.
I'm repressed. I'm repressed. I don't know if I could. I have to like look you in the eye someday again. And just...
You're such a nerd. And I mean that in the best possible way.
But anyway, point is, suggest a topic. And they could be totally safe for work topics too, just to be clear. They could be anything.
Well, then why don't we get to the topic at hand?
Yes. So today's topic is really kind of just a happy geeky thing, because Jen and I had a conversation and we were like, look, this week is a garbage fire. So we need to maybe have like a happy conversation instead of something that's maybe on some serious topics. So today we're going to kind of talk about how we became geeks, really loosely defined. We probably won't get into every little aspect of that, but we're certainly going to talk about some of the stuff that, you know, our childhood experiences, things that sort of solidified our love of science fiction or fantasy or both, or things that are adjacent and so on. So it should be an interesting conversation. At least I hope so.
It will at least be a fun conversation.
Yeah. So, Jen, I'm going to start with you, and I'm going to ask you a very simple question, which is what do you recall as being the first geeky thing that you loved as a kid? Like, that you actually have a firm memory of, not like something that you vaguely remembered watching, but like the thing where you're like, that was like my jam.
So, my dad is a confirmed geek. So I was pretty much surrounded by geeky things from a very small age. I don't know what happened to them, but I used to have the Conan artwork on my walls growing up. But I think the thing that I remember most is that I basically cut my teeth on Marvel comic books, which is part of the reason that our conversation last time has me a little bit in an uproar and slightly passionate, because literally, I don't know why my dad thought it was a good idea to give me as a very small child. I'm talking like 4 or 5 years old. So he would give me comic books to read. And comic books were, and still are, relatively simple. They're easy to track for a child. And my dad had a huge comic book collection. Unfortunately, I was small. And when I say cut my teeth, I think there's a chance that I actually did take a bite out of a couple of them. And I probably scribbled in crayon on a couple of them, but I got to sit there and read Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, the Thor comics, pretty much from the age of 4 and 5 on. And that is probably where it all began. That, and a book that I can't remember the title of, but it was this big, compilation, and it had all the old Superman comic strips in it, like his earliest strips. It was like a history of comic books or something. So still to this day, when I think about Superman, that's what I go back to, is those old comic strips when he couldn't even fly yet. He was still just leaping over buildings. And I think that's what started it all for me. How about you?
Oh, boy. Okay, so there are like two sides of my life as a kid. There is the stuff my grandma would let me watch, and then there is the stuff that I was allowed to watch when I was at home, because my grandma did not like violent stuff. And so most of the shows that I loved as a kid, I could not watch at grandma's house. So you have basically like a Disney stuff was what I recall very strongly from being around my grandma. So things like Winnie the Pooh, you know, any of the Disney movies that came out, you know, basically ever, I pretty much seen all of them, you know, things like Lion King later on, obviously, because that was the 90s, or like Sleeping Beauty or whatever. I never liked Bambi.
Bambi's scary and sad.
What was the other one that was really terrifying? Oh, gosh, Sleeping Beauty actually scared the bejesus out of me as a little kid. Because, like, when that dragon, when the witch was like, I'm the super dragon, and I was like, oh my goodness, that's actually terrifying. Of course, I was like 4, I think, when I saw that, so.
Plus the acid trip fairies. I mean, it's just a weird movie.
Oh, Dumbo. God, this is the thing I never understood about my grandma. My grandma was like, I don't like violence, and you can't watch things like The Simpsons because it's vulgar and these kinds of things, you know? It's not like my grandma's super repressed, but, like, when it came to kids, it was like, you know, you need to go with the safety stuff.
Right.
But yet, like, when you think back to all of the stuff we watched as kids that are Disney-related, all of that stuff is like a horror show. Like, Dumbo has, like, crazy acid trips. Pinocchio, like, he goes to that creepy circus place where they're, like, doing drugs and drinking and stuff. And, like, it's all horrifying. And parents die in all Disney movies.
Yeah, I mean, Disney actually tackles some surprisingly adult themes for being kids' film. I think that's kind of, to me, it seems that's not as prevalent in more recent Disney films, as much as I love them and I think they're beautiful, although I'm not a big fan of Frozen, but maybe that's just me. Anyway, but definitely the earlier ones, when you go back and watch them as adults, and you and I have kind of discussed this in terms of other kids films on Totally Pretentious, right? That kids films back in the 80s did not pull their punches. And I think that includes Disney. I mean, they dealt with some pretty dark topics.
Yeah, I think it's the way that Disney approached them that was what my grandma liked. You know, because like the Heffalumps in Winnie the Pooh are also kind of scary. They really are. When you're a little kid and you don't know any better, as an adult, I look at it and I'm like, these are flat out ridiculous, but they're kind of adorable. But I think it's the way that Disney approaches them, which is different from some of the other kids stuff that was around that was a lot more dark. So like I think of like the Goonies, which we've talked about, you know, as a kid, that movie actually kind of scared me. Like Sloth was terrifying.
But only for a minute. And then he became the coolest character in the movie. And you love him forever. I mean, unfortunately, there is definitely some problematic issues with his portrayal.
There is.
But on one hand, very problematic. On the other hand, fairly positive because he gets to be the hero.
Well, like, isn't that the kind of the point, though? Like he starts out as basically being treated like a monster, right? This is his family that's treating him like a monster, which is kind of what I imagine other horrible families did with, like, the kids that weren't quote-unquote normal, right?
One of my dad's cousin was put into an institution, and he stayed there for the rest of his life.
Just because he had some sort of a mental handicap or disability? It wasn't like he was violent, he was just different.
I mean, he did have violent outbursts, but I think not that many. And I think it was more of like we don't know how to deal with this. We don't know how to cope with this on any level. And so that's what happened to him. And that was kind of the reality back in the 50s and 60s and earlier, which is sad. It's tragic, but that's just how it worked. So he lived there his entire life. He died there. And it was really awful. And Sloth is kind of the, you know, the symbol of all of that, this horrible treatment that people had for people with any sort of disabilities, but particularly mental handicaps.
Like, so I get, there are certainly, as you say, right, there's certain problems with the portrayal. I think it maybe sensationalizes it a little too much. But the one thing that I have to say about that portrayal that made me really happy is you get to the end, he does get to be the hero, which is really kind of a beautiful moment. But more importantly, after all the kids, like the families pick up their kids and everything, the Chunk tells him, like, I love you, Sloth, and you're going to come live with us and be part of our family now. And nobody questions it. Nobody questions it. He becomes part of the family. And I think that's really beautiful because the film sort of, it gives us a great parallel between this family that really hates him and treats him like garbage to this family that is imperfect and dorky and weird, but loves him for who he is. And it's ultimately like it's about the heart of a person, right? Like, it's kind of like that ridiculous message, like, don't judge a book by its cover kind of thing. Like, yeah, does Sloth not look like everybody else? Sure. But, like, his heart is in the right place.
Well, and more importantly, it's basically the entire message of the film, right? It's the rejects. The rejects are the heroes. And as a kid, clearly, I mean, even for me, and I'm sure it was probably for you, that was one of the films that told me, oh, you know what? It is okay to be a geek.
It's okay to be weird and different.
Yep.
And that's
fine.
Which
was kind of awesome. I mean, yeah. I really appreciated that as a child because there wasn't a lot I was born in 78, and there definitely was not a lot out there, regardless of the fact that my dad was a geek, and I was surrounded by his friends who were definitely geeks for my entire childhood. And like at the age of, I don't know, 10, I started going to science fiction conventions, or rather gaming conventions. Even having all of that surrounding me, all of the sort of the positive portrayals of people who are geeks and that clearly accepted me for being a geek, the second I left those safe spaces, there was less acceptance. So seeing it something like The Goonies was a really powerful message.
Yeah, it's the same for me. You know, the same kind of stuff. You know, geeky kid, I wasn't a jock, didn't really want to be a jock. Like, it seems kind of, like, ridiculous that we're still talking about, like, geeks and jocks, but, like, for a lot of people who are in this community and are, like, very vocal, like us, that this was, like, lived experience, right? Like, there was a division between these things, right? And that's another thing Goonies does really well, which... we're talking about Goonies a lot. I think it's just because you and I identify with this movie a lot and we love the crap out of it. But that's another thing is the jocks, like there are like the bad jocks and then they're like the good jocks and the good pretty people who sort of decide, well, why would I go be with these other people who are like they're scheming, they're conniving, they're actual terrible, awful human beings. I could be with these lovely people who will accept me for who I am, whatever that is. It doesn't matter. Right, like you have the pretty girl and you have the brother who's essentially a jock, right? Being treated by like crap by these rich people, basically, but who decide let's just be Goonies.
Well, yeah, because you had the class warfare aspect of that movie too, which was there are so many things in that movie. We're not even supposed to be talking about them. Go listen to Totally Pretentious.
We did an episode on the Goonies. We freaking love that movie. We talked for like an hour and 15 minutes and we didn't even scratch the surface of just how great that movie is. No. But anyway, so I had the happy side from grandma and then, the quote unquote safe side.
The G-rated side.
The G-rated side. And then I had the stuff, which probably technically was G-rated too, but was a little bit more on the violent sides. And that was things like, this is going to sound ridiculous because that's just, I was a boy in the 80s and 90s basically. But like things like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and G.I. Joe. Which I watched when I was a kid. I was a huge Ninja Turtles fan. And that was before I was Ninja Turtles and later like things like the Ghostbusters show because I don't think I didn't see the Ghostbusters movies until much later. But like things like that was what I watched a lot as a kid. Those kind of cartoon shows, X-Men later on. Basically, Ninja Turtles and G.I. Joe came before really I got Star Wars because that I think I got Star Wars like towards the tail end, like right around when Return of the Jedi came out, and that's when I started to get the Star Wars stuff sort of introduced into my life. And then I basically was hooked and never left.
So that's interesting because, I mean, you and I came into the geeky world from completely different positions. You primarily through television and film, right? And I came at it, I think, first really clearly in my memory from comic books, but I also had books surrounding me. I had science fiction, fantasy literature all over my house. That's all my dad read. So I was given a lot of science fiction and fantasy books as well. And I talked about this. There's a reason I'm doing the Retro Childhood Review on the Skippy and Fanti blog. And it's because I still have a lot of the books that were given to me as a child. The most clear one, although I came to it first through the film, is The NeverEnding Story, which I will talk about at length if anybody lets me, so don't let me.
Save it, because we are going to definitely do a podcast on that one.
We're going to be doing a podcast on that one, which is going to be fun. But that had a huge influence on my life later on. And then later than that, I got the ElfQuest graphic novels, which again, huge influence on me. And you guys will see this in my... over time in my retro childhood review, the things that had a pretty big impact on me. But I definitely came into geekdom first through print media. And my love of the films, of genre films and television, definitely, I mean, I loved them as a kid, but did not have as much of an impact on my sort of geek development. Until later. Like now I'm super passionate about the movies and the TV shows. But I wasn't as much as a child. Even though my babysitter's son, who's one of my best friends, he got all the action figures, which was just so cool. And I was super jealous. He had everything. He had all the G.I. Joes. He had, and like, I was a girl, and I think my parents unfortunately still had kind of the, you know, gender paradigm thing going. And other people were still definitely of the opinion you gave girls girly things. So he had all of, like, the G.I. Joe stuff, the He-Man stuff, later on Ghostbusters, all the Star Wars sets. Oh my god. Transformers. I didn't get those as much. I got, like, the girly equivalent, so I had all the She-Ra dolls at some point, but still to this day, I'm like, god, gender paradigms suck. I could have had all those action figures because I loved them. But I had access to those only by going to my babysitter's house. And that started when I was about 6 years old in kindergarten. So I've basically been surrounded by geek my whole life.
Well, so I think it's interesting, right? You raise a point of the difference in how we kind of became fans of these genres. You much more through the literary side than I was, which is interesting. We kind of like came from different areas and then converged and sort of accepted all of the things. And I don't know enough about your family economically. Like, I have some vague senses of it, but like my family, so I was the first child of three, and my mom had me when she was 16 years old. So she was a high school dropout marrying a man who at the time didn't really have a future, eventually joined the military. And so we didn't have a lot monetarily, you know, because you've lived base housing. It's not exactly like they're living, like you're buying $100 bottles of wine and caviar, right? It's certainly not. I mean, I know that sometimes there's like those little wine parties and stuff and people bring in that French wine that's real expensive.
Well, unless you're an officer, no.
Yeah, you don't make a lot of money. And my mom being a high school dropout who didn't get her high school diploma, essentially, well, she got a GED, but whatever, right? And didn't go to college until, oh gosh, I was a teenager, right? That meant, like, that had an impact on my reading. Like, I did read. I read things like Goosebumps and those kinds of things. And I did eventually get Star Wars novelizations. I think one of my first was actually one of the old Han Solo book, little Han Solo stories, which I still have somewhere. And I'm never going to give it up.
Adorable.
Never going to let you down. But like, you know, we got a lot of our reading through libraries. We didn't own a lot of books. There weren't like lots of bookshelves in the house. It wasn't until my mom got a little bit older and got obsessed with Princess Diana that we started to have much more books in the house. They just weren't the books I wanted to read because I did not care about Princess Diana. So I think that like that had a huge impact, right? And there's also like some other reasons. Like there's a reason why I have watched Star Wars, I don't know, like a couple dozen times every year of my life. Because basically when I was a kid, I had severe asthma. And when I had to stay home from school and be locked up in the house with my nebulizer machine, coughing and wheezing all day, I would watch Star Wars. And I would watch it over and over and over again on VHS. I still have them. I have three sets of VHS tapes, by the way, so that I have one I never watch, one that I do watch, and a backup just in case the first set breaks. I'm so ridiculous. But like, that's why I became so obsessed, because like that, I'm sitting at home and I'm like this weak little kid dying of this horrible disease, basically. And they're like my heroes, and I get to watch them go be heroes all the time.
Yeah, and that makes sense, like on a number of levels. And like we were not. My mom was a teacher, and my dad did not work. My dad, well, he worked, but he was not paid well. Up until I was about 8 years old, but my dad was a voracious reader, and so he prioritized books over anything. Like, we had a crappy-ass television, but we had a buttload of books. And we all also had access to a really good library system, which is so important. And maybe because my mom was a teacher, that's what was prioritized, was reading. I really wasn't allowed to watch a lot of television. We watched movies, but it wasn't until later that I became a TV addict, for sure. I think we're kind of coming on the end of this, so...
Yeah, we kind of scratched the surface, I think.
Scratched the surface of our geekery, but I think it is interesting, like you said, how we came at it from completely different directions. And I think you know, for sure, your economic status, education, and all those things play a big role in how people are probably going to come into the geeky world. And, you know, it's like my dad and both of his brothers are, they're all geeks in one way, shape, or form. And I still don't know why. But because their parents were not.
Yeah. My mom became a voracious reader, but that was sort of a process that I don't fully understand because I don't remember every aspect of my childhood. So that would be like a thing, like maybe we'll bring my mom on sometime. It would be like, Mom, tell me how you got into fantasy.
I would love to have your mom on. Why don't we get into our boosts? I'm going to let you go first since I got to start in the conversation. What are your boosts this week?
Well, first I want to boost my actual role model from childhood, which was obviously Boba Fett. No, I'm kidding. I identified more with Luke Skywalker than I did with anything else. I probably would have identified with Leia if I had grown up today and was just now getting them, just because I think as a kid, like, you have to a kid born in the 80s, growing up late 80s, and then the 90s, I think you're kind of stuck kind of with the gender dynamic there. Like, point is, I now more identify with Leia because she was always a hero for me. But she just wasn't the one that I wanted to be because of the whole girl thing. Now I kind of want to be Leia because Leia's a fucking general. She is a badass. She's like, man, god damn it. Now I'm getting sad.
I know. So what are you actually plugging? What are you boosting?
Okay, well, first thing I want to plug, let's make this happy now. Most of you have heard about like the Humble Book Bundle stuff. And apparently the one that they've got going up that hopefully will still be up because it's got 13 days and 16 hours left. So this episode should be up in time, yes?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. They are doing a Super Nebula author showcase version, which has just a crap ton of stuff. And it's all kinds of people like Arthur C. Clarke, George R. R. Martin, Kelly Link, Kat Rambo, like all kinds of people who have won Nebulas, is I think the whole point, right? It's all kinds of stuff like short stories, books, novels, collections, all kinds of stuff. There's just a ton of stuff in here. And if you know how Humble Bundle works, you basically get to kind of like name your price. They sometimes have like a baseline price and you just kind of can go with that, or you can, I guess for a lot of it, you can just not give any money, but that would be evil, so don't do that. Just give money. But anyway, so if you want a whole bunch of stuff by a lot of great folks, you can go there to the Humble Book Bundle folks for the Super Nebula Author Showcase. We'll put a link in our show notes for that, so do look out for that. So that's one thing I want to plug. The other thing, really quick, I just find it really interesting. So Camistros Philapton has a lovely WordPress site. It's at camistrosphilapton.wordpress.com. And their most recent post on Star Wars was a response to Castalia House's now over a year late Mary Sue post. Because I guess they decided to do one recently for reason.
They just now discovered Star Wars? That's hilarious.
That went out 2 days before we are recording, so the 8th of May. So in any case, and it's by some turd nozzle, I don't know. But anyway, like, so look, everyone knows I have problems with Force Awakens, right? Whatever. This is a great post pointing out why the Mary Sue stuff is kind of really dumb. And it's literally like the most snarky thing ever, where it's just like basically Camistros repeating the same idea in response to like every criticism, because the same thing basically points out why every criticism is bullshit. And it's basically like literally there's a point in this guy's post where he says, I shit you not, we can't figure out why she can climb up things. And it's like, oh, you mean like the first time we're introduced to Rey and she's climbing up things in the the down star destroyer.
She can climb things?
She can climb
things? Nobody can climb things.
Nobody can climb things. Oh my god. Yeah, so it's basically like that gets repeated a lot. It's really good. I think it's a great idea. I mean, I just read it. You should read it. It's a lot of fun if you want to read that kind of stuff. And then last thing, super quick, because there's a big whitewashing fail nonsense having to do with Ben Kanahela, and I apologize, I probably ruined that name. I tried to find a proper pronunciation, but I couldn't quite get there. But in any case, there's a stupid movie where they put a white guy in the role of a Native Hawaiian man, which is pissing off a lot of people, justifiably so. And I thought I would plug a book by somebody who actually wrote about the incident. Unfortunately, not a lot of people have written about this. I talked to you about this off podcast, Jen. Part of the reason for that is that it was a fairly small incident and a very large event. It also took place immediately after Pearl Harbor, So, of course, it kind of gets ignored because of the severity of the Pearl Harbor attacks. But in any case, it's called the Nihihau Incident. Occurred on the island by the same name, in which a Japanese downed pilot took some hostages and was like on a whole ordeal until two Native Hawaiians essentially overpowered him and killed him, and they became heroes. One of them was actually awarded, honored for his service in that particular incident. But there's a book by Alan Beekman called The Nihihau Incident. You can find used copies pretty much anywhere. And I do recommend reading it because that'll be a far more accurate account than what we are most certainly going to get in this garbage film that's coming out. So that's all I got.
Cool. I feel like that was three boosts and we're only supposed to do two.
I cheated.
You totally cheated.
Sorry.
That's okay. So I'm going to give my boost now. The first one is I have to boost Sarah Chorn. She's been on our podcast before, most recently discussing disability in science fiction and fantasy. You can find her on Twitter at Bookworm Blues and her excellent reviews at bookwormblues.net. But the thing I specifically want to boost is her other website, which is r-words.com. Our Words is about disability in science fiction and fantasy specifically. She's doing a project right now until the Senate vote on the most recent Republican attempt to destroy healthcare in the United States called Faces of Impact. And she's collecting stories of people who will be negatively impacted by the repeal and replace bill that the Republicans are trying to pass. It's a complete shitfire of a bill that basically no longer covers pre-existing conditions. And since I think pretty much every single one of us in this country has a pre-existing condition, it's probably going to impact you in some way, shape, or form. So check that out, r-words.com, Faces of Impact. Send Sarah your stories. Sarah is an absolutely passionate individual, especially about disability and science fiction fantasy. And pay attention to this bill and call your senators, please. So that's one, the less fun one, but super important one. And then the second boost is one of my favorite things on Twitter, which is hashtag Saturday Night Sci-Fi. Sean, I don't know if you've ever participated in this, but it's a ton of fun. It's organized by Henry on Twitter at Geek Soul Brother. He's been doing it since, I think, 2014. Every Saturday, it is so much fun and such a great sense of community to participate in hashtag Friday Night Sci-Fi. He picks a genre film every week and everybody watches it together. So, like I said, it's just a great sense of community, and I highly recommend participating in it. I don't know what the next one is going to be, but he's just done some really fun films. They did a Ghost in the Shell at one point, not the new one, the original. So check that out, at Geek Soul Brother, hashtag Saturday Night Sci-Fi. And that's pretty much all she wrote.
Well, I look forward to checking that out. That sounds like a lot of fun.
It is so much fun. It is the geekiest thing on Twitter on Saturday nights.
Check it out now, Geek Soul Brother. Yeah. Yeah, I like it.
Hopefully he listens to it and makes that his theme song, because that's amazing. All right, everybody. So thank you so much for joining us on Signal Boost Conversations this week. And have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can find us at skiffyandfanty@gmail.com, on Twitter at skiffyandfanty, on Facebook at The Skiffy and Fanty Show, and on Patreon at patreon.com/skiffyandfanty. Our intro and outro music comes from The Launch by Chronux. You can find out more about their music at freemusicarchive.org.